This morning's reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tracy. You can be assured it's going to be an interesting sermon since I brought my book of discipline out. So just a little teaser there, huh? Get ready. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, send your Spirit upon us, that as our scripture has been read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what it is you have to say to us this day. Amen. It's a simple lesson today, to love one another. Cut, done. Good? Or is it? Last week during confirmation class, near the end of the class, the kiddos and I came in here, just kind of sat down in the sanctuary, and we're getting close to the end. This is our last week this week, and so I was asking, what questions do you have? What do you get? What are you still seeking to understand? What do you think you can do, and what do you think is going to be difficult? One of the students said, when we're told to love everyone, I think that's really hard, and I'm not sure I can do that. I will not call this student out, but I thought that was one of the bravest things that they could say. We, and by we, I definitely mean me, often wax poetic about the virtues of love in the Christian context. What is the answer? The answer is love. Jesus taught us to love all people as God does. But often when you get down to the business of loving others, you realize that in the nitty-gritty of life, loving others can be brutal. Traumatizing, exhausting, and strangely unforgiving. Not all people are easy to love. And that is what the community in which, that's the context of our scripture today, is experiencing, this early community of Christ followers trying to follow the way of love and finding it very, very difficult. So when it was Lent, I told you that I was fasting from social media, but I finally broke my fast just recently to rejoin Facebook and follow my colleagues and friends who are currently at the United Methodist General Conference session in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, for those who are not familiar, General Conference is the highest legislative body of the United Methodist Church and convenes every 4 years to determine the denomination's future direction, including rules that are included in the Book of Discipline. And I could nerd out a lot. I don't know if you see all of my little tags and things over here. I can be kind of a nerd about the Methodist Church. It also develops theological statements. The General Conference is made up of delegates from all over the world and is a very diverse body of clergy and laity making decisions for our church, the United Methodist Church. Now, for as long as I have been an ordained United Methodist pastor, which is closing in on 20 years now, I've known the General Conference session to be a place of division, a place where fights bloom, disagreements take center stage, advocacy groups seek to disrupt, and to me, you know, watching from afar, I've actually never been present, but you always get to watch online these days. The movement of the Holy Spirit can be difficult to pinpoint in all of the political maneuvering. Now, the last General Conference that was held was a special session in 2019. Some of you may remember us talking about that, which was a lead up to the planned 2020 General Conference, which was postponed until now because we all know what happened in 2020. I need not remind you. At that 2019 special session, we were all preparing for a great split of the denomination. And it was looking as though the church was leaning towards a more traditional and punitive stance concerning ministry with LGBTQIA+ persons in a variety of different ways. However, because of the pandemic, the postponement of General Conference, and the postponement of General Conference, the traditionalists started leaving our denomination to start their own, called the Global Methodist Church. So without some of the loudest voices of opposition to a more inclusive church, there has been hope, but also anxiety and a little bit of hesitation about this current General Conference session. Now, in the days leading up to it, I was seeing all sorts of stories and posts about how traditionalist groups were still trying to infiltrate the conference and cause havoc. So don't get too hopeful, people were saying. This could be really, really bad. But now, here in the middle of General Conference, it started this last week and it lasts through Friday, May 3rd. Something's been happening. During this last week, the first part of General Conference, the structure has been work in legislative committees before all of those things go to the General Conference plenary when everybody gets together. And there have been work on petitions. Now, I will share all of this saying that all of this still needs to be voted on by the General Conference, the whole of the General Conference, sometime this coming week. But here are some things that have happened in the last few days. Petition 20730, striking the incompatibility clause in our Book of Discipline, it says that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. So this petition is to strike that clause and change the definition of marriage in the Book of Discipline. Passed Church and Society Legislative Committee from, and the vote was 45-15. Petition 20175 to strike the self-avowed and practicing homosexual language from ordination in the Book of Discipline, passed Faith and Order Legislative Committee 49-3. Pay attention to these numbers. Petition 20469, striking the ban for clergy and churches performing same-gender weddings, passed Ordained Ministry Legislative Committee 34-27. Petition 20182, striking a ban on United Methodist Church funds going to support LGBT LGBTQIA+ causes passed Financial Administration Legislative Committee 54-6. Petition 2190, striking the requirement for our General Church Finance and Administration Committee to ensure that UMC funds aren't going to support LGBTQIA+ causes, passed Financial Administration 55-9. And one more, petition 2364, striking the language making performing a same-gender marriage a chargeable offense for clergy, passed Judicial Administration Legislative Committee 32-13. So even if you didn't follow all of those words that I said, there are a lot of punitive bans and all sorts of restrictions in our Book of Discipline around ministry with LGBTQ persons. And in legislative committee, at least, the work has been very clear to take away that punitive attitude, bans, and restrictions from ministry, from finance, and etc. Bishop Karen, our bishop, our conference's bishop, has reflected on the last few days with this post. She sends every Saturday evening to the conference. She wrote it a little earlier this week. Love is the bedrock of Christian life. And love is what I am experiencing at Charlotte in General Conference. For years, General Conference has felt more like a battleground than an experience of Christian conferencing. Voices were silenced, lives were demeaned, hope was dashed over and over again, but something is happening in Charlotte. At first, there was a timidity of spirit, but then an open-heartedness to one another grew, and even in the midst of differences, joy has bubbled up in contagious ways. Truly, the Holy Spirit is in this place. What's changed, she writes. One of the best lines I ever heard in a church meeting was when a group was moving through a difficult topic, but slowly aligning in consensus. Someone disagreed with the direction and said, I just need to be a devil's advocate here and say, and someone else said, the church is the last place that needs an advocate of the devil. Differences of opinion and diverse voices are so vital for healthy conferencing, but those who just seek to disrupt, divide, and disorder do little to build up the body of Christ. My whole ministry, my whole life, our church has fought at General Conference. We have sought to be a church that allows all in and loves one another. But sometimes that idea of how do we love one another best gets muddled. Friends, what does it mean to love others? Others that disagree, others that bring discord, others that disrupt. I grew up believing that diversity is one of the things that makes the United Methodist Church an expression of the kingdom of God. That we can all be welcomed. But I've been learning and watching this situation with our United Methodist Church over the last many years, that loving and abiding in Christ doesn't mean that we don't have to have boundaries. What if loving others means that we have the courage to call out harm? And that we have the grace to part ways when the value of love is not foremost. And so today, let us consider this in the midst of General Conference as people across the country are making decisions for our denomination, for our church, that impacts how people see who we are and impacts perhaps whether they will ever walk foot into this place. And let us pray. As Bishop Karen invites us to pray, continue to pray for the delegates' friends who are working hard to respond to the Spirit's leading, who are listening intently to one another, and who are helping us realize the future of our beloved denomination. And may this gracious Spirit pervade our local churches so that all who walk through our doors will find a place of welcome where love and joy dance together down the aisles. I have hesitant hope, my friends, and I invite you into that place with me. I pray these have been the words of the Lord for us this day. Amen.